So we're in a new sermon series that we started last week called Not Alone. And this sermon series is about the Holy Spirit. And I will tell you, it was really interesting to me last week how many people came up and said, Tim, I've gone to church for a little while, and I have never heard somebody preach about the Holy Spirit. Never in all my time being in the church. And I said, well, we're going to do it for 3 weeks, right? We're not going to do it just 1 week. We're going to do it for 3 weeks. And last week, we talked about how in a lot of our reality, we're in the midst of big crowds and we're around people, but we feel incredibly alone. We feel incredibly alone, even when we have people all around us. And we talked about the early church. And now the early church was with a bunch of people, but even in the midst of all of those people, there was this sense of incredible loneliness because they didn't know what was going to happen next. And the Holy Spirit bust in like a rushing wind and bust into the space and changes everything. We talked about how the Holy Spirit transforms us in the midst of community. And I want to make a shift this morning. I want to move from just this idea that the Holy Spirit helps us in the midst of community, and I want to talk about the idea of being not alone by ourselves. We spend a lot of time in life sitting by ourselves. And we spend a lot of time in our life wondering, what are we going to do? How are we going to become better people? I believe that most people in this room believe in transformation. Is that true? You believe that your life can be changed. In fact, I think many Northern Virginia people, I'll talk about the culture that I'm in, talk a lot about transformation, right? How can I grow? How can I be changed? What can I do? I mean, I am a person that's about transformation. This church is in the business of transformation. We call ourselves restoration, right? We believe in being restored. And I think that's really important, but I also think we Northern Virginia folk have another real big problem. We're people of great independence, right? We want to be transformed, just don't help me. I want to be transformed, just don't get in my space and transform me. We come from a society and a culture that says, I can do this all on my own. The challenge with that is, I think if we're trying to transform ourselves on our own, we won't ever get there. We won't get there when we say, I can just do this. And that's where I think the Holy Spirit comes into play. The Holy Spirit comes into play to bring us a refining when we're by ourselves. The word that I want to use this morning is that the Holy Spirit cleanses us. It does its work in a cleansing way. Last week I talked about how the Holy Spirit is powerful. This week I want to talk about how the Holy Spirit is a cleanser. And cleanse is not a word I use too often. I don't know about you. Maybe you walk around cleansing things and saying that you're going to cleanse them. So I decided, what is the actual definition? What do I want to work off of this morning? So I went to my good friend dictionary.com, and this is what it says with the word cleanse or cleansing. It says, to make clean. Well, that's never helpful, by the way, when you use a part of a word. To remove by, or as if by cleaning, to cleanse sin from the soul. Well, that's getting more helpful, right? To cleanse sin from the soul, or as a verb, to become clean. So I'm still not sold that I know what this is, right? To cleanse yourself, for the Holy Spirit to cleanse you. But I believe the Holy Spirit wants to clean us. I do a lot of cleaning at my house. I know what that's like. I believe the Holy Spirit wants to do that in our lives. The Holy Spirit wants to remove the tarnish from our lives. It wants to take us to a place of restoration. It wants to transform us to the people that we were created to be. I want to begin this morning by taking us to a psalm. This psalmist in the psalm has got real big problems. He's frustrated. And he's frustrated because he thinks there's absolutely no way that he can get back to God. He thinks that his body, his self, is so tarnished that he's encapsulated by this pain. He feels absolutely worthless. Anybody else ever have these feelings? Anybody else feel like there's nothing they can do to get back into the good graces of God? That's where the psalmist is this morning. And the psalmist is crying out to God saying, I have no value. I don't know what to do, but I want this stuff to be removed from me. I want the stain to be removed, the psalmist is saying. I want it to go away. I want it to be taken away. Now, before the part that I'm going to read to you today, before we get to that part, the psalmist very clearly acknowledges that he knows that even in the midst of his tarnish, God loves him. He knows that truth, and I think that's a place that's really important for us to start. To start with that place of even though we have tarnishing, God still loves us, and God can still do something. And that's where the psalmist is this morning. God, I know at the end of the day that you still love me. I know that you can still do something. But the psalmist is full of despair. There's hurt because of the things that he's done. And he asks God to cleanse him from his sin. Let's look at this morning, starting in verse 7. It says, cleanse me with hyssop, and I'll be clean. Wash me, and I'll be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins. Blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take away the Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit. The psalmist wants his life to change. Would you agree? Do something, God. And he seems to be having this battle back and forth of, God, I'm a mess, and God, you've turned away from me, but God, I need you, and God, do something. Sound familiar? God, purge me from what's going on. Strip me from the stuff that's in my life is what he seems to be saying. These are very intentional, powerful words that the psalmist brings. He knows that it will be work, and he knows that God must be involved. Look at what he says in verse 7 again. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. You may not know what cleansing with hyssop is. I didn't know what it was. Cleanse me with hyssop. Hyssop is a bushy plant. And it was common when someone had an illness or a disease, when they were cleansed from the disease, like when leprosy was gone, that they got to come back into society, but only when hyssop was dipped in blood and then it was put on them. It was a cleansing technique. And he says, cleanse me with hyssop, clean me, because God, I believe if you do what you do and you cleanse me, sort of, what's the word I'm looking for? Not really, right? If you do it virtually, you cleanse me with hyssop, then I can be back in community with you, God. If you clean me, God, I can be back with you. The psalmist knows that God must be involved. The cleansing of the Holy Spirit, the movement of the Holy Spirit in our lives leads us back to this renewal. Look what the psalmist says. You say, oh, the Holy Spirit doesn't come until the New Testament. Look what the psalmist says here. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. It is the Holy Spirit, he says, who creates the pure heart. We can try all day long to be good. We can try all day long to get it all right. But the psalmist says, don't take the Holy Spirit from me, God. Because if I want to be pure and clean, that's what I need. We are renewed, friends, by the Holy Spirit. The psalmist goes as far as to ask God not to push him away from the Holy Spirit. Don't take the Holy Spirit from me. Last week I talked about this a little bit and I said, wow, isn't it interesting how we can go through periods of life and say God walked away from us, how God left us. But when we sing songs like Holy Spirit, you are welcome here, when the psalmist is saying, God, don't take the Holy Spirit from me, you know who that's for? That's for me. That's not for God. I have to get myself in a space where I am ready to receive the Holy Spirit. By saying, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here, it's like a little mantra, right? God doesn't need our invitation. When we say, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here, it's preparing the space in me. It's preparing the space in you. And that's what the psalmist is doing. The psalmist is saying, don't take the Holy Spirit from me. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. Now, I've been pretty nebulous up to this point as to what the Holy Spirit is cleansing us from. The psalmist is pretty nebulous, right? Like, he doesn't go into all this detail about the stuff that's going on. And maybe you're somebody who says, I want a little bit more. I want to know, what are the things in life that the Holy Spirit can cleanse us from? What are the things that we need to be released from? What are the things that are keeping us from being the people who God designed us to be? What are the things that are keeping us from living into that full potential that I'm speaking of? And I want to give you some things this morning. I want to give you some words that I think the Holy Spirit wants to cleanse us from. The first thing is, I think the Holy Spirit wants to cleanse us from our thoughts. The Holy Spirit wants us to have thoughts about people that are positive, not negative. Do you think our culture could use a little bit more of that right now? Where maybe we think positively about people, and that's the first thing that we think. But I think it's hard for us to think positively about people when we can't think positively about ourselves. Right? When we look at ourselves and we say, like the psalmist, I'm too tarnished. I've got too many problems. So I want you to try a little exercise with me this morning. I want to invite you, don't worry, I'm not going to come out there. I want to invite you to close your eyes right where you are. I'm going to keep mine open. But I want to invite you to close your eyes. I was in a meeting this week in a conversation where somebody did this, and it was a really powerful experience for me. I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to think about the last couple of weeks. Think about something maybe that was stressful. Think about potentially a word that you told yourself. I'm going to call it a lie, but it didn't feel like a lie to you when you heard about your self-value and your worth. Think about the most negative thing that you thought about yourself this week. Maybe that negative thing is, you're not good enough. Maybe it's, you're not a good enough parent. You're not a good enough person. You're not good enough at your job. You don't try hard enough. You're not smart enough. Whatever it is. And I want you to imagine on your shirt, you're wearing a name tag. Many of you are. And I want you to imagine that word or that phrase, that lie that you've heard, is written on that name tag on your shirt. You're not smart enough. You're not good enough. Sit with that for just a second. Now I want you to imagine the Holy Spirit coming in and erasing whatever's on that name tag. Picture that as physically as you can. The Holy Spirit coming in and wiping off, even if it was written in Sharpie, Holy Spirit can do that. Wiping off those words. Wiping off those letters, those lies that people have told you about yourself. Maybe they're lies that you've allowed yourself to believe. Wipe them off. And instead, imagine the Holy Spirit writing on there, beloved child of God. One of my very favorite children, the Holy Spirit is writing on there. And I want you to open your eyes. That's what the Holy Spirit does when it cleanses us of our thoughts. The Holy Spirit takes the lies that the world tells you and says, first and foremost, you are my child. And you are deeply, deeply loved. Y'all, I think so much transformation would happen in our lives if we would start with working on this thing right here. So many of us try to go to the heart and we say, oh, how can we deal with the heart? We have to tell our minds, we have to allow the Holy Spirit to convince our minds that we're worth it, that we have value in the eyes of God. So the first thing the Holy Spirit does is it cleanses us from our thoughts. What else does it cleanse us of? It cleanses us of those very things that we don't like about other people that we do ourselves. Think about the very thing that you don't like about somebody that you work with, somebody in your family, somebody that you know, and the Holy Spirit comes in and it says, all right, we're going to take those things away from you. I was thinking this week, one of those things that I don't like about other people is bitterness. Negativity, right? Bitterness that just kind of seeps in to somebody's life. And you know what? I've never met anybody that on day one of their life woke up and said, I can't wait to get bitter, right? I've never met anybody. In fact, most people who are pretty bitter people cannot tell you where it began. Do you agree? They become bitter over their life, over their time. It's one of those things that creeps in. And the Holy Spirit wants to strip us of things like bitterness, anger, frustration, envy, jealousy, you name it. The Holy Spirit wants to cleanse us from it. It wants to take those things away. Yes, because it makes our society and our culture better, but you know who it makes better? It makes you better. It makes me better. It makes our lives better. And that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do in you. I was watching this week a lot of coverage on the death of Barbara Bush. I don't know if you all saw that, but a first lady who would say she was first a mother, right? A wife, as she said, to the greatest man in the world. But I loved the coverage on Barbara Bush. I loved the stories. I loved hearing from her children. I loved reading all of these different articles about her. Y'all, I honestly became a little obsessed this week. And I think it was because I believe that she is somebody, I don't know her whole faith story, but I believe she is somebody for whom the Holy Spirit has cleansed over her life. And I wanted to read you just a couple of the things that I read that she wrote. She wrote this. She wrote, "Never lose sight of the fact that the most important yardstick of success, of your success, will be how you treat other people, your friends, your family, your friends and coworkers, and even strangers you meet along the way." I mean, is that not a powerful phrase from somebody who has had cleansing in their life? Saying, "I don't want the bitterness, I don't want the anger, I don't want the frustration," that cleansing. Or this one, we're going to skip the middle one, we're going to go to the next one. "At the end of your life, you will never regret not having passed one more test, not winning one more verdict, or not closing one more deal. You will regret time not spent with a husband, a friend, a child, or a parent." Y'all, those are not the words of somebody who's bitter. Those are not the words of somebody who's dealing with life with anger. Instead, those are the words of somebody who has been cleansed. Because, y'all, I can't get to that stuff on my own. I can't do that stuff on my own. The Holy Spirit comes in and it cleanses us from those very things that defile our spirit. The things that make you become the person that people don't want to be with. Not one of these words, bitterness, anger, hatred, jealousy, or envy, was ever mentioned when I was reading about her life. Cleansing. And here's probably one of the more important ones. The Holy Spirit, friends, cleanses us from our speech, from our words that we use to hurt other people, from our words in our society that we use to bring pain to people. I believe that speech is getting worse. I believe that the words that we are using with one another, let me rephrase that. I think our filter is falling down more. We're saying things that as my mama would have said, you shouldn't be saying nothing at all. But we're using these words that hurt other people. And when the Holy Spirit cleanses us, when it comes in and begins to work in our lives, do you know what happens? We stop using words that hurt other people and we start using words that build people up. We stop trying to break people down and we start trying to encourage people around us. It takes away not only the negative thoughts in our mind, not only the defiling of our spirit, but it actually comes out in taking away those words that we use to hurt people. Y'all, I want to encourage you, if you're in a place where you use words often to hurt people, you might need a little bit more Holy Spirit in you. You might need a little more cleansing of the Spirit. Because when the Spirit cleanses us, when it's actually working in us, we start to see change. Our speech is one of those places of transformation and change in our lives. I think the psalmist is longing for all of these things. I think he's longing for a change in his mindset. I think he's longing for a change in his spirit. And I would even imagine he's longing for a change in his words. And he calls on the Holy Spirit to do it. Transform me, change me. Now, you've probably been sitting here this whole morning and going, okay, Tim, great, but how? How do I get that? The Holy Spirit feels nebulous. How do I get to experience it? I think that we simply have to do what the psalmist does in the psalm. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. And then sit and wait for it. Don't be afraid when the Holy Spirit begins to sand you, to cleanse you, when the Holy Spirit begins to transform you. Because when the Holy Spirit does it, we start to reflect the God who created us. You start to be able to see the beauty of the God who so deeply loves you. You see, the Holy Spirit doesn't change what was here. It just takes it back to what it was created to be. It strips the tarnish of our lives, those things that we've put in place, that we've allowed to get in place, that keep us from experiencing the God who created us. And it cleans those off. And we're back looking just like we were designed to be. What the psalmist seems to feel like is that he should have just been thrown out. But after he calls on the Holy Spirit to do what the Holy Spirit does, transformation happens in his life. Y'all, I believe with all of who I am, the Holy Spirit wants to cleanse you. The Holy Spirit wants to cleanse me, wants to transform me. It's the Holy Spirit that brings us into that full connection with God, that dips the bush of hyssop into the blood and cleanses us, that reminds us that we are loved. And the Holy Spirit wants to do that for you this very morning. The Holy Spirit wants you to experience that this morning. We're going to receive Holy Communion today. And I didn't really think through having all this stuff all over my hands, did I? We're going to make that work. The Holy Spirit wants to cleanse me, and the Holy Spirit wants to cleanse you. This is an open table. We receive communion at Restoration each Sunday, and it's an open table for all who desire to come. If you want to come and begin to experience the cleansing of the Holy Spirit, you can do that right here at the table this morning. Last week, I talked about how the Holy Spirit came like a powerful wind. We have three stations set up in the back, a station that has fans where you can go and pray and experience a wind and be reminded of the cleansing of the Holy Spirit. There's a station right in the center in the back where you can go and tie a ribbon on and with a prayer for the Holy Spirit. And there's a bowl of water back there, because so many times when the Holy Spirit shows up, it's either wind or water. And when we do baptism, the water is represented by the Spirit washing over us and cleansing us. So you can take your hand and put it in the bowl. But I hope that you will go to one of these stations and experience the Holy Spirit this morning. May it cleanse each of us in a way that we don't even expect, in a way that will surprise us, in a way that will sand us and bring us back into community. So I want to begin this morning in receiving communion by just having a time where we can be still and be silent, maybe to offer a prayer like the psalmist does and say something to the effect of, God, I know I need you. Holy Spirit, fill me in such a way that I am cleansed by you. So let's have a moment of just silent prayer.